The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, well, well. Hello there. How are you? Welcome to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. I'm Steve Hook. It is very good to be with you once again today. Hope you're well. Broadcasting live from the smoky environs of the Jersey Shore, where it's once again starting to look like it looks like something that you'd see, photos you'd see from the Mars rover if you've been online over the last couple of days. No matter where you live, whether you're in the States or not, you've no doubt seen people share pictures of New York and stuff. Well, that's what the whole tri-state area looks like. And it's pretty bad from these Canadian wildfires. So we'll be fine, though. I'm in a insulated studio that has got air conditioning and a cleanser, whatever you call them damn things, purifiers. So that's kind of the way we've been dealing with this. Apparently, this is going to hang around for at least a couple of more days. Hopefully, they'll get those fires tamped down in Canada, but goodness gracious, I mean to tell you, man, it's like standing in a chimney if you're outside. But it is good to be with you. I won't continue to bore you with that. We've got a big show for you today. Today we're going to be chatting with Gene Valentino. Gene Valentino is a very interesting fella. He's a host of the podcast Grassroots Truthcast out of Pensacola, Florida, which is a beautiful, beautiful part of Florida on the panhandle, the very edge, the very tip of the panhandle, really, Escambia County. I know the area well, and I've lived in Florida. I lived in Florida all over that state, really, and I know exactly where Gene is from. It'll be very interesting. He's also the former county, he was the former county commissioner for Escambia County. He's also the founding president of Cellular One. For those of you in the States, you may have heard of Cellular One. He's the founding president of that company. So he's an entrepreneur, a patriot, big fan of aviation, and just a real interesting guy. I watched a couple of episodes of his podcast, and I said, oh, man, I look forward to chatting with this fella. So we're going to have a real good time with him in just a bit. Okay, in the news, well, you know... I'm really wondering if Joe Biden is going to actually be the nominee for the Democrats. I mean, I know that he's probably going to be. Everybody says he's going to be. But Gavin Newsom has really been shining a light on himself for these past couple of months. You may have noticed if you're in the States, Gavin Newsom, the utterly failed governor of California, which knows a thing or two about wildfires. He's basically destroyed California, and now he's coming for the rest of the nation, it seems. Well, he is now. This is going to go over. It's not going to go over. Newsom is proposing a constitutional amendment to restrict gun rights. That's right. That's what he's doing. I'm reading from what is this? Is this Fox? Yes, this is Fox. But here's what he says. Fed up with inaction on gun control, Newsom unveiled a proposed 28th Amendment to the Constitution. And right when you propose a 28th Amendment, that is a guaranteed way to know that it's never going to go anywhere. He says it's common sense gun safety measures. Common sense gun safety measures would be, arrest people for violating pre-existing gun laws, but they won't do that. And that's how you know it's all bunk. But he says our ability to make a more perfect union is literally written into the Constitution. So today I'm proposing the 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution to do just that. The 28th Amendment will enshrine in the Constitution common sense gun safety measures that Democrats, Republicans, independents, and gun owners overwhelmingly support, while leaving the Second Amendment unchanged and respecting America's gun-owning tradition. This is all rubbish because it's not, you can't have a 28th Amendment, which is basically an amendment to the Second Amendment, and expect to get any support. for one of them. He says we should ban all assault weapons. What is an assault weapon, folks? I mean, these common sense gun laws are so absurd on their face because they ignore the huge elephant in the room, and that is prosecutors that refuse to prosecute gun crime and Democrats who support that. So, I mean, if you take a look at the gun statistics, and I've had John Lott on my podcast and on my previous shows, one day I'll get him on the Steve Hook show here on TNT. But John Lott can give you the facts, the data, and all that. And it shows that the vast, vast, vast majority of gun crime that goes on in the United States happens in blue cities, in low economic neighborhoods, ghettos, essentially. Democrats have just turned these portions of the inner city into absolute hellscapes. And yet when they catch a gangbanger or something that fired off a bunch of rounds, they always throw the gun charge out. Or they'll stick with the gun charge, but they'll make it a lesser charge. And so these people that are committing these crimes are immediately turned back out on the streets because they dare not offend their constituency. At least I guess that's their logic, I assume. But it's illogical because what they really want to do is they want to take guns away from everybody. Now, I know it's been said before to the point of cliche, but if you remove all guns from the law-abiding citizens, then the only people that will have guns are non-law-abiding citizens. And the people that use guns in the process of robbing somebody or carjacking somebody, these people are predisposed to ignore the law to begin with. So there's no such thing as common sense gun laws. It just doesn't exist. What they really mean, and what we all know that what they really mean, is gun confiscation. I know there's some folks in Europe and some folks around the globe that look at the U.S. and say, oh my God, I can't believe that everybody's got a gun there. Well, first of all, you're being lied to. That's not true. This is not the Wild West over here in the United States. The vast majority of gun owners, and by that I mean well over 95% of gun owners, have never drawn their gun in anger. And for that matter, most of them haven't even drawn it in self-defense. Most of them use their guns for hunting, target practice, or whatever. And yes, of course, personal self-defense and defense of their home and family. But that's not what the Democrats or Gavin Newsom wants to do. They just want to take all your guns, and that's where they're at. So we'll see how that goes. We'll keep our eyes on it, but I just thought I would pass that along. Gavin Newsom is waiting in the wings for Joe Biden to bag out, and I guarantee you they're going to leapfrog Kamala Harris and go straight to Gavin Newsom because he's their kind of progressive. Hey, look what he did for California. If he can destroy that state, maybe he can destroy capitalism in the rest of the country. That's what they're trying to go for. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that, but we will continue to follow that story. Hey, don't miss out on a thing right here on TNT. Make sure you download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store, or you can get it at Google Play, and then you can easily listen live as you're doing right now, but you can put it on any device and you can listen to us live anywhere, anytime, whenever. Again, it's available right now to download because we like to keep you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Looping you in on the latest.
Alert straight to my phone.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, let's welcome my man in, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. And this is kind of what I was talking about. According to the U.S. National Weather Service, the noxious smoky haze from the Canadian wildfires that's blanketing the East Coast, well, it might just persist right on through the weekend, or at least until the weekend. Health officials are expressing serious concerns about the air quality, and I can understand why, living on the Jersey Shore. They're advising residents in seriously affected areas to stay inside. And, of course, when something like this happens, guess what else happens? A brand new crop of conspiracy theories start popping up concerning the unfolding disaster. And here with that entire story, TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Ruckus, so you're telling me that maybe aliens are spreading these forest fires, huh?
At this point, who knows? Well, I mean, can you blame those of us who need to theorize about this? Because we just can't trust our own government or our own media, and that's the fault of the government
exactly.
and the media. So yeah. I don't blame conspiracy theorists at all. But there are some interesting ones, and a lot of them actually aren't new at all. A lot of them are rehashes. And I did notice while we're talking about that, that it seems to me very interesting that more so there is the debunking of the conspiracy theories rather than the actual conspiracy theories themselves, because the theories are always around. This is always happening. But when the news starts paying attention and saying, hey, look at these silly conspiracy, ha, 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 this is just fake, 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 then I'm like, okay, they're trying to hide something here, which just furthers more conspiracy theories. So that's fun. But onto the actual news, because hitting you close to home, you know this is real. People have seen pictures. I've experienced wildfires where I'm at in New Mexico from when they happen in California, Arizona. So I understand what it looks like. So people are probably freaking out. And I do also understand the poor air quality, which is probably the biggest concern right now. But I should let everybody know that the United States is offering to help out Canada, to support them, to help fight the devastating wildfires. That's good because it's affecting us too. But yes, Joe Biden offered Prime Minister Trudeau the extra support needed during a phone call between the two leaders just yesterday, according to a statement from the White House. I guess there are an estimated 414 fires continuing to burn in Canada, of which 239 are considered out of control, according to the Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center. So pretty wild, pretty serious stuff. I mentioned the air there. It's I think that contributed to the fact that now, as of Wednesday, New York City became the most polluted cities in the world, if I'm not mistaken, as the smoke from the fires turned the clouds a hazy red, leading to decreased visibility, prompting some schools to cancel outdoor activities. They're actually recommending, I heard them saying, hey, time to bring out the masks again. So that's very eerie. And then, of course, now we're hearing from the National Weather Service. There's a low pressure system that's driving this smoke over the East Coast. It's lingering over Nova Scotia, Canada, and Maine. It will probably be, quote, hanging around at least for the next few days, end quote, according to meteorologist Brian Ramsey, who says to the Associated Press that, quote, conditions are likely to remain unhealthy at least until the wind direction changes or the fires get put out. And, quote, since the fires are raging, they're really large, they're probably going to continue for weeks. But it's really just going to be all about the wind shift, end quote. So, wow, this could stay dangerous for just a little while, or it could stay dangerous for a very long time. Kathy Hochul, that's the governor out there in New York. Yeah, she's lovely. But she told people, excuse me, she said stay at home, basically. She says last night, you don't need to go out and take a walk. You don't need to push the baby in the stroller. This is not a safe time to do that. End quote. And again, it reminds me so much of what we saw take place when they were public health officials were the ones recommending people how to live their lives in response to an emergency. Clearly, this isn't an emergency, but I think because of that, that's bringing out what Rolling Stone came out with a nasty hit piece against all the people who are bringing out the common theories like, oh, how come all these fires started at once? Was it directed energy weapons? Was it a flamethrower? Was it Antifa starting fires again? Because they were caught doing that, by the way. And then this general sense, this feeling that this whole idea of climate change, natural disasters is a way to push us towards some sort of a version of a climate lockdown, which some of us here on TNT have been talking about. So I think this hit piece from Rolling Stone is a perfect way to silence anything, any real concerns people like us might have. Steve, what do you think?
I think Rolling Stone is about as relevant as, I don't know, not relevant at all. So I don't give a rip about, last time Rolling Stone was relevant, Matt Taibbi used to write there. And, Now look at what they say about Matt Taibbi. I'll say this. I just can't wait for the Biden wildfire stimulus checks. That's what I'm waiting for. Maybe we could spend a few billion dollars and send out a few stimulus checks. And I will say that I went to the grocery store yesterday, Ruckus, and I'm on the Jersey Shore, as you know. I'm about a mile away from the beach where I sit right now. And it is, you don't need the government to tell you that it's bad outside. All you got to do is look out the window or walk outside. You can smell it. But I saw more N99 masks than I've seen since 2021 yesterday. And people were all saying the same thing. Thank God I saved these masks because, boy, it sucks out here. And, you know, that kind of talk. And as far as the conspiracies go, I get it. They are, some of them are goofy, silly. But you know what? So were a lot of conspiracies going back the last several years, and some of them have turned out to be true. So while I don't necessarily buy into the whole alien idea, I wouldn't be surprised if many of these were set by arsonists, some probably careless campers, who knows. It's bad here, and I look forward to that low pressure system moving away and lifting this haze, because I just opened my pool. But I will be awaiting my federal government wildfire stimulus check. I'm sure that's going to be in the offing before long, especially if the student loan thing fails in the Supreme Court today, then he's going to promise billions in wildfire relief, I assume. We'll see. It's blame Canada is what I say. Blame Canada.
It was probably a grand conspiracy on behalf of 3M, because their sales dropped after the pandemic. And they're like, how do we sell more masks? I'm just kidding, folks. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'll tell you something, though. I will say this, that it is a great way to start controlling people, isn't it? Now, I'm not buying into the conspiracy stuff either, but I do think that I will say something that's not conspiratorial. It's just true. When you don't have proper forest maintenance, this kind of crap happens. Look at California. They stopped maintaining their forests thanks to groups like the Sierra Club. And all of a sudden, they've got the worst wildfires in the state's history. And then they say, hey, this is global warming that's causing this fire. It's not all the kindling and dry wood and leaves and rubbish that's just littering our state forest that gets struck by lightning. That's not it. It's global warming. It's absurd. They need to start forest maintenance and stop worrying about whatever animal it is they claim to be representing to save by not burning down their habitat. Meanwhile, millions and millions of acres burn. It's ridiculous, but we'll keep following it. And I hope that I can breathe easier in a few days. But I thank you, Ruckus. We certainly do appreciate you, my friend.
You betcha, sir. Stay safe. Breathe easy.
Thanks, brother. We'll chat tomorrow. All right, take care. All right, there he goes. That's Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. You're listening to The Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We come back really excited to welcome my guest, and we will on the other side. Gene Valentino will be joining us on TNT Radio coming up next.
TNT Radio's Charlie Robinson.
$880 billion was the number I saw. Now, San Francisco can't make their rent, okay? They're bankrupt. The entire city is bankrupt. But yeah, let's carve out almost $1 trillion to pay people that weren't slaves money in a state that didn't have slaves from a bunch of people that, I don't know, never really even owned slaves either. So it seems like a really dumb idea. North Carolina, though, where you guys are, that was actually a slave area. Where are your reparations?
There's no speak of reparations right here. Now, of course, I don't want them. All right. I do not want them.
I know you don't.
Look, yeah. The simple fact of reparations is ridiculous, because the people who may have needed them have been long gone. I mean, they haven't been on this planet for a while now. So it makes no sense at all, reparations at this point in time. And then plus, with the way our currency is currently, as far as devaluing the dollar, I mean, yeah, just go ahead and drop $800 billion, you know, into the marketplace with no product behind it. And I'm pretty sure nothing will skyrocket in price. Right, Charlie? Nothing to go
right,
up.
Yeah.
Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. You're listening to Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio. All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. And I'm very happy to welcome my my guest today. And this ought to be fun. Gene Valentino is the former founding president of Cellular One. He's also a former County Commissioner for Escambia County in Florida, an area I know very well. He resides in Pensacola, Florida, which, for those of you who don't know, it is basically the western tip of the Panhandle, beautiful area right near Fort Walton, Destin area. Love Pensacola. He's also the host of the Grassroots Truthcast podcast. Great name. And we welcome him to the program now. Gene, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Steve Hook Show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for this invitation. It's an honor. Stephen, it's a pleasure to meet you. I heard some of your previous recordings, and wow, do we have something to talk about?
Yeah.
I was jumping in my seat over here. Say again?
Yeah. I said, you guys aren't getting any of this smoke from Canada, are you? Just one more reason to move to Florida.
Well, there's one more reason to move to Florida, but it's a little hazy out there, but I can't blame it on Canadian smoke.
Well, I know your area well. Pensacola is a beautiful area of Florida. And let me ask you this, Gene, just before we really dive in here. Are you noticing a huge uptick in people moving to your area, Escambia County and Pensacola? Oh.
Yeah, land use issues have gotten tighter. I'd say about in the Panhandle, we've seen maybe a 30% increase in residential actual population. It's really growing up here. It's the very famous auto dealer up in the area passed away, Vince Wibbs. He used to be mayor of this Pensacola area, and he had a favorite saying, "Welcome to Pensacola, Western Gate to the Sunshine State, where thousands live the way millions wish they could." We've got millions here now.
Yeah, a little secret no more, huh? I know. As a kid, I used to go to Destin and Fort Walton all the time, and it was just a beautiful, quiet little beach town. And the last time I was in Fort Walton, I'm like, wow, this place has grown up. And we always go down to Apalachicola and St. George Island in that area. I've lived in Florida on several different occasions over the course of my life, and I love the state. And at this rate, I might be living there soon again. Anyway, I welcome you to the show, Gene, and I've been listening to some of your podcasts, and I must say I love the way you handle a podcast, and Truthcast is a great name for it. Thank you. By the way, you've got a great governor. Are you on the fence about whether DeSantis should be president for fear of losing him as governor?
Perfect. You couldn't have said it better. I think he has hit a home run, and politicians have to be careful at times not to overreach. I think that putting aside the fact that he's not doing too well in the polls nationwide, and if I'm to be selfish for a moment, Stephen, he's doing such a great job here in Florida. He is doing, he's showing such great leadership. Our unemployment rate is lower than the national rate. The real issue that's becoming a concern is that whether these illegal aliens' departure is one thing, right? There's also a steep penalty now on employers. This new immigration illegal alien bill that was just passed with his blessing by the Florida legislature puts the clamp down on some of these illegal migrants, illegal aliens. I'm not even going to call them migrants. These aliens are working sort of under the table for contractors, construction, and agriculture. Well, guess what? Yeah. There's fruit and vegetables rotting on the vine out there in Florida right now. They can't find the help because the employers can't find the talent to support the work in the fields and the framing of the home down the street.
Yeah, yeah. They're also big time in the meatpacking industry. I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that most people of goodwill would agree that maybe temporary visas are good for agri workers and meatpackers and whatnot. But when you start just opening the floodgate and rolling out the red carpet, you just don't know who you're getting. And that's obviously a concern. I must say that DeSantis's move of sending the illegals to Martha's Vineyard was an absolute stroke of genius. I loved it. And of course, I realized that he sent less than four dozen of them, and they were all off the island within 24 hours because yeah. they weren't carrying leaf blowers and pushing lawnmowers, and you know these. that's what it seemed like.
Well, they talk about the Republicans stereotyping minority interests. Boy, haven't they done that just by their actions? And here they are trying to go after DeSantis now for some claim of him inappropriately, illegally pushing people into the Martha's Vineyard area. What have they been doing on the border, Steve? They've closed their eyes to millions coming over the line. I have a favorite saying I'd like to share with you, and I hope it resonates with the citizens. Divert, distract, and deflect. That's the mantra of the Democrat Party. Yeah. If I keep your attention on a DeSantis stunt with all this hyperbole about what he's done wrong in Martha's Vineyard, they don't have time to comprehend the benefits going on with his successes in Florida. And it takes their attention completely off the southern border. And, oh, by the way, the tidal wave, the tsunami of wrongdoing right under our nose with the Biden crime family, which continues to be overlooked. It's a diversion. It's a deflection. It's a distraction.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. It is the shiny object tactic, and it's sadly it works on far too many Americans. But I think that a lot of people are starting to kind of see through that. At least I think that it's self-evident that what happened in Virginia and the lockdowns and when parents started seeing it. They said they rejected what's going on within their school systems. And then what happens? Well, then what happens is parents are called domestic terrorists. And even now, we're still seeing that. I mean, did you see what happened in, I think it was in Glendale, California, a couple of days ago, when there was a meeting at a school board meeting where protesters on either side of the aisle showed up in California, in Glendale, that's LA, folks. And yeah. It broke out into fights. And what does the media do? They immediately turn around and say, well, that was because these people that are objecting to, you know, the parents being indoctrinated with all kinds of sexual crap that no third grader needs to know about. They're the terrorists, for God's sakes. It's wearing thin with
this,
people. No?
This constant press to divert your attention onto a side issue and complain about that. In your case, you just mentioned, it takes your attention away from pornography and perversion in the school system. The transgender issue overwhelming, reading, writing, arithmetic, the STEM values that education was established for in the first place, school systems, the entire grades failing in their grade level. Meanwhile, what's going on? China's giggling and laughing their asses off because they've got eighth graders at college grade levels, and they're trying to just keep us diverted and deflected on these sidebar tyrannical issues to take your attention off the productivity, the ethics, and the morals that this nation was built on. Hey, just may I continue a second more?
Sure. Go.
Okay. I just realized that the states are coming together, thank God, in this country against federal government corruption and tyranny. DeSantis is part of this as well. You know,
Mayor Vondefuse.
Yeah. And so now we're up close to 20 states. A few more gets us to the majority level of the convention of states. But our founding fathers foresaw that the federalized, centralized power of government gives license to these elected officials who walk in the doors of Congress with good intention, all of a sudden get polluted with this mantra and overstated sense of self-worth that they think that they are in charge, and how dare you question me? It's evidencing itself when it trickles down to the local communities. But you talk about Glendale, California. Here in Pensacola, Florida, the school board just fired the superintendent of schools because of all this woke crap going on. Yeah. And I think the door is swinging back the other way. Stay tuned, America. There's a power in the spirit of the people in this nation that will finally wake up and say, hey, the guy I put in office may not be doing what he was promising me he was going to do. I, the people, it's from the grassroots up. It's the government is the people, not the elected. It's the people the elected represent that need to rise up and take back. And you're seeing it in your perfect example of Glendale, California.
Here, here. And you just mentioned something, Gene, that I think is, you mentioned it almost in passing, but it wasn't lost on me when you said convention of states. Convention of states. Now, whenever this topic gets brought up, even some on the quote unquote conservative side of the aisle start saying the last thing we want is another constitutional convention. A convention of states is not a constitutional convention. You got to drill this into people's head. This is all about Article 5. And a convention of states says if you can get 2/3 of the states to basically say, okay, we're coming together and get state legislatures together, then they can change the direction of the federal government. But that's what it's going to take. You sound like a supporter of convention of states.
Jim. I am a supporter of convention of states. And I heard you on your broadcast before we came on the air, and you were talking about how the 28th Amendment by Gavin Newsom you should have seen me. I was laughing hysterically over here. I said to my wife, this guy gets it. This is unbelievable. You're talking about a perversion of the Constitution if something like that goes through. That's why our founding fathers, miraculously, at the 11th hour, put in a provision, by the way, that hasn't been tested yet. These 27 amendments to the Constitution came through what? They came through Congress under the procedure we have now with 60% and 2/3 and so forth. But now it is apparent that because government is so corrupt and government is behaving so tyrannical, that the convention of states, this is exactly what Adams was talking about.
Yeah.
Watch out. We may have corruption so severe, so pervasive, that we're required, Stephen, to go outside the system to correct it. So bring it on, DOJ. You want to nail Donald Trump in this 11th hour? There's going to be a tsunami coming at you that won't mirror what happened to people being indicted before elections of the past. This indictment, if you go forward with Donald Trump, it makes my point that the convention of states will need to step up. Oh, there'll be a 28th Amendment, all right, but it won't be Gavin Newsom's. It'll be for the imposition of a mechanism to penalize and limit certain authorities of elected officials and to term limits to start with, balance budget secondarily, and all these bureaucrats in office in D.C. in the swamp with 40-plus years in service, we'll just tolerate this new elected guy coming in, Steve. Yeah, he'll be gone in 4 years. We'll work around him over the next 4 years. I'm on my pension. I got 40 years in this deal. We'll fix him. Who's at the top of that? Who's at the top of that? How about a guy by the name of James Clapper? How about a guy by the name of John Brennan? Two of the biggest treasonous traitors to this nation. And if the truth be known, if we follow the rules of treason under our Constitution, look what happened. They were hung. I'm not suggesting we go that far in this case, but something serious needs to be with these two people and another 49 of them who signed a
Panetta
document.
Is one of them.
Yeah, who said that Trump was involved in Russian collusion, which was a false narrative. And now everyone wants to brush it over like it didn't exist. What's going on with us?
You know, Gene, I want to touch on some of that and also kind of underscore this this point you're making here, because it's vitally important. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2016, the federal government agencies within the government, namely the FBI and the DOJ to an extent, probably CIA, And of course, you mentioned Brennan, so director of national intelligence, he was. Clapper was CIA. They colluded with each other, and they colluded with hired Russian agents to come up with this phony dossier. So in 2016, the government tried to unseat Trump. That failed. Then they went and they tried to unseat him again during his presidency with the Mueller report. That failed. Then in 2022, they went after him again. In 2020, they went after him again with the with all the other. They've tried to throw three elections in a row. This isn't hyperbole. Right. This isn't just, oh, that's a partisan view of it. No. This is all demonstrably true. And they're doing it again right now because they are going to hand down an indictment, Gene, either today, tomorrow, or sometime early next week. And I think you're right. I think that is going to light a – we're talking about these wildfires in Canada. You ain't seen nothing yet. Imagine that. I mean, this is banana republic crap. A sitting president is going to have his DOJ indict the number one leading – a candidate against him in the opposite political party. I never would have believed it. I never would have believed I'd see that in my lifetime here in the States.
Stephen, there will be more than 9,000 acres on fire here in the United States, figuratively, because the 9 million acres of fire on fire in Canada will pale in comparison to the 9 million acres on fire in the United States. That will be riddled with dissidents stepping up to protect this nation. You know, and to the point you just made, President Trump signed a letter to declassify the Obama documents and that whole spying regime just a few days before he left office.
Yeah.
No one's talking about it. Those are the documents that he had the legal right to possess because he declassified them. Whether you like the process or not, he was legally on firm ground to do so. What was not legal was Biden, when he was vice president, had documents in his possession that had never been declassified. By himself, he couldn't, but by Obama. Obama didn't declassify this deluge of documents sitting in multiple locations, but Trump.
And by the way,
did.
One of those locations was the Penn Biden Center, which got very healthy grants to the tune of millions of dollars from the CCP, ladies and gentlemen, the same country that owns him now. It really is ugly.
Like you said, is it will be a tsunami. This will backfire and will set precedent. Unlike, of course, Donald Trump set several precedents, but this will be another one.
Yeah, I think that it's real easy to say, oh, well, people have a problem with his personality, his brusqueness, his brashness, his arrogance. Okay, whatever. I get all that. But by God, his policies were good. And that's what scared him. And I think what really scared them is I think that, and if you read any of Peter Schweitzer's books, and Gene, I know you're familiar with Peter Schweitzer, and I know you're familiar with the corruption that he has uncovered throughout his career, frankly. But there are a lot of very corrupt politicians inside the Beltway. And I think they were all petrified that Trump is going to unmask them all. And therefore, at any cost, he must be removed. I'm talking about the Biden crime family, the Clinton crime family, the Obama crime family, and then we could go down the list. Even certain Republicans are involved in this crap, and it's got to be cleaned up. And I do think that if this indictment comes down, and it looks more likely than not, and then after that, we're probably going to get an indictment from Fulton County. That's probably coming down the pike. I don't see any way out of this other than a grassroots pushback on this. And I suspect that's going to happen because if Trump's not here, then guess who's Hitler? DeSantis, of course, is Hitler then.
Yeah.
But what's your take? Well,
they're trying to – he's a real nice guy. If you know Ron DeSantis, he's a real nice guy. It's going to be pretty hard to paint him as Hitler or anything ugly. And it's a deep shame that – they've taken cheap shots at his wife like they did Melania. See the pattern developing, Stephen? They did to Mrs. DeSantis what they did to Melania Trump. It's absolutely obscene. That's another thing I would propose in a convention of states constitutional amendment, is to reorient our thinking about the right to free speech on radio and TV broadcast. Why is it that the FCC holds a certain standard in place for radio and television, which has to be adhered to, not to mention existing print media? But on social media, it's a damn free for all. And questions, there needs to be a penalty or a penalty imposed against social media for allowing speech to be hurtful that does damage. There's also a penalty that needs to be imposed against social media that denies free speech from being exposed on social media. We hear how Donald Trump, not to mention millions of others, been knocked off. What's wrong with me? Facebook and all Twitter. The others. Twitter, absolutely. It's just it's they do not get to unilaterally decide what you're saying is truthful or not. Now, there is a defense in the law called actionable words. If I get on this broadcast and try to incite violence like they accused Trump of doing at the Capitol on January 6th, then you have a right to curtail free speech from actionable words. But there was no such incitement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, speaking of tamping down on social media and the platform. I don't know if you heard the breaking story that's coming out about Instagram, which of course the parent company is Meta, which is also the parent company of Facebook. And now a new bombshell report has come out that said, guess what? There is a massive international pedophile ring that has free run on Instagram. And it's well known. And investigative reporters have dug into it. And they said, yeah, guess what? There are pages dedicated to minor attracted people, aka pedophiles. And this is the kind of stuff they're pushing. And if you dare push back on that stuff, you are called, what are you, some kind of tyrant? What are you, an authoritarian? Well, when it comes to my kids, you're damn right I am. You're damn right. And I just find it, I don't know how, it's indefensible.
Over 100,000 children have made it over the Mexican border into the United States. They are undocumented and have gone missing and have matriculated into the United States through different transportation modes, and could become victims of such a ring of child pornography and molestation, something their parents never intended them to be. What's going on here? This is a beautiful nation that everyone wants to come into. Back to square one, please just come in legally. No wonder there's a dual system of justice, because the pedophilia you talked about is the tip of the iceberg on many of these connections that have resulted in mysterious deaths occurring and suicides in jail, right? All of a sudden, some people going missing that are due to come up for trial. And whistleblowers today in the news this week talking about going undercover for fear of their life.
Well, just to give you an example of that, Tara Reid, who testified that she was raped by Joe Biden back in 1992 when she was an aide for Biden, she moved to Russia, for God's sakes. She said, I feared for my life. By the way, it's worth pointing out, Tara Reid is a lifelong Democrat. So it's not like she's some right-wing conspiracy theorist. Just like Juanita Broderick with Clinton, Kathleen Willey, all of these women that have made these accusations are all lifelong Democrats. But it does seem to be one set of rules for For thee, another set for me. And they've been pushing this for so long. I think people are finally waking up to it. And that is kind of the other edge of the sword for social media, because it has allowed us to kind of view the other side of the curtain, if you will, pull back the curtain and see the ugly truth. And more people are waking up to this ugly truth. Now, what do you think is going to happen beyond the indictment? What do you think is going to happen going forward regarding the primary? Because DeSantis, God love him, he can't seem to get any traction. And the crazy thing is that with every one of these criminal indictments of Trump or investigations into Trump, I think more and more people are saying, you know what, screw it. Now I'm going to support him because they're going after him. Do you see that?
That's the blowback I was talking about. You're right. What do I think is going to happen? Well, there's only one opponent to speak of. There's a whole bunch in the race against Trump right now. Trump with over 50% of the support, DeSantis at 20-something. Yeah, Tim Scott, Asa Hutchinson, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm going to come back to him in a second. Perry Johnson, Larry Edler, Elder, Ryan Binky, Mike Pence.
Chris Christie.
Chris Christie and Bug Burgum. You know, all these people, you asked a question. Why are all these people running when they don't stand a chance? Well, for some, I submit it might be just notoriety, getting their name out there for maybe some Trump coming future back to him saying, hey, why don't you come on board with me and we'll find a good spot for you when I win the nomination type of thing. I see. So that's politics. I don't like it exactly, but I see it and I accept it. The DeSantis issue is an anomaly. It's really what our Democrat Republic, a constitutional republic, was all about, was to bubble up to the surface the best man or woman to take the role on that, take the helm at that political party for the final election. What has happened over the years is that there has been a strategic manipulation of the process. It was first manipulated deeply at the primary level throughout the nation and bubbled over into the final election through ballot harvesting and these early voting issues we can talk about. And I do think that Trump was robbed of that election. And they don't want us to talk about it, because what's coming out in the investigation is proof that they don't want to reveal that there was a breach to the efficacy of the election. If there is evidence that James Comey, James Clapper, John Brennan, and a whole bunch of others were complicit as officers, as bureaucrats of the government, under an elected official named Obama, to steer a narrative in the other direction, which came out just before the election on Trump, is a manipulation of the public's information. I mean, if you're driving down the street and you're listening to the news and you're going in to vote and you hear that on the radio, oh, I was going to vote for Trump. I'm going in the other direction now. What the hell's he into? And so there was enough suspicion put out there to cause the average working, hardworking citizen who doesn't have time to track this BS every day like you and I do, to change their thinking. To me, I think is the most criminal wrongdoing that goes back to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, goes back Susan earlier Rice. Than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes back. But I mean, it's, Rice. Oh my God, she was a carryover. And by the way, she just resigned.
I wonder why. But we'll see. I am curious, and we don't have a lot of time left here, but you mentioned Vivek, and what are your thoughts on Vivek Ramaswamy?
I am stunned with his level of articulation to the issues. He came out with something in social media recently. I wish I could pull it up right now. I hope you talk about it in the future. He is talking about a major house cleaning. You talk about constitutional amendment, convention or states or not. I would support the constitutional amendment that creates term limits, that creates a balanced budget, that creates an election process geared toward one, maybe 2 days, early voting only for the sick and affirmed, and our patriots overseas work defending this nation on our behalf when early voting is needed so they can get the ballots back on time. I don't trust the electronic system because of the back doors in the machines and the capability after hours. And as we saw on video, but that was what Vivek Ramaswamy was talking about, his ability to take administrative action immediately, including lining up 85,000 military on the southern border. And then he mentioned the Canadian border. He's right about that. And putting a wall up instantly, physical and structural, with all the electronic enhancements to stop this and to create things behind the scenes through our Department of Intelligence and special ops folks to go after those cartel SOBs that have demonstrably taken down this nation. It makes me wonder. But I just don't understand why, as limited and handicapped as Joe Biden is, I don't understand why that man would not go after this cartel the way Reagan did. Yeah. You remember back?
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on behind the scenes is the bigger story. And he has stopped our intelligence and military operation and special ops from protecting this nation.
Gene, you know, it seems like we only got a couple of minutes here, but it does seem to me, it's one thing to say, okay, well, he got that policy wrong. Okay, well, he kind of screwed up this. He missed the mark here. But it seems to me that every policy this president has taken, this administration has pushed, and frankly, the media has pushed along right beside him, has been to the detriment of the United States. None of it's been good.
Tell me something good.
In other words, it seems planned. Now, if I'd said that 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, you would have said, what are you, got a tinfoil hat on? Whatever it may be. What are you, some nut? But now it's like, well, wait a minute. The southern border, drugs, crime, inflation, foreign policy. It's all a disaster.
Don't talk to me about defending Ukraine until you get that southern border under control. Period.
Yeah, here.
And you got $100 and something billion of our taxpayer money to defend Ukraine already spent. And you're cutting back on just the human crisis of people. Yeah, we are generous people. You know what goes often unspoken? The Berlin Airlift, the Monroe Doctrine, the Marshall Plan. Steve, we did great things for other countries in Europe and in the world, and we didn't need a NATO alliance to do it. We just did it because it was the right thing. But I'm a little pissed off right now about spending any more money in Ukraine. I don't know what Lindsey Graham knows that we don't know, but why are we spending that kind of money over in Ukraine when we got such an atrocity going on our southern border? We haven't even talked about immigration. We haven't talked about a legal pathway to becoming a citizen. We haven't talked about the American English language being the primary language in this nation, and a voting day of 1 day per year, not 3 months prior to an election like some states are doing. No, well, if we lose this election, the Republicans, I think we will have a problem.
I don't disagree. And I do think that you're right. Just it's just a cacophony of disasters. And it seems to be cheered on by people that either are willfully blind or willfully tyrannical. And I do think that the media is to be held in utter contempt, because the division that they have sowed, and they have sowed this division knowing full well that the narratives that they're pushing are not true, yet they do further an agenda that they agree with. That is just, I mean, it's just unbelievably dangerous. And yeah, people are at each other's throats, the likes of which I haven't seen in many, many years. Listen, Gene Valentino, God bless you, sir. You are there's a real treat. I hope that we can get you back one day soon, Gene.
God bless you too, sir.
All right, brother. Just
failure to defend the rights of other people may someday result in your rights not being defended. That's my closing comment. God bless you,
good,
Steve.
Good point. Look up Gene Valentino, Grassroots Truthcast Podcast. Anyway, coming up next on TNT Radio, it's the Patrick Henningsen Show. Until tomorrow, I'm Steve Hook on TNT Radio. Goodbye. Thanks, Gene.